Big Sight, New Hank, Coco, Big Sight. Yeah. Y'all know how this shit go, you know.
All eyes on me.
Buffalo G.
Roll up in the club and right. Shit. All eyes on me. All eyes on me.
You know what?
I bet you got it twisted, you don't know who to trust. So many player-hating niggas trying to sound like us. Say they ready for the funk, but I don't think they know it. Straight to the depths of hell is where those cowards going. Well, all you steal, damn nigga, holler when you see me. And let these devils be sorry for the day they finally freed me. I got a caravan of niggas every time we ride. Hitting motherfuckers up when we pass by. Until I die, live the life of a boss player. Cause even when I'm high.
Welcome, 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 everybody. We told you all we were going to be doing a lot more movie reviews, and so you'll be seeing a lot more movie reviews on the podcast, where we'll just be doing selected movie reviews. Me and Ted will definitely still be doing They Shouldn't Go to the Movies Together, where we'll chronicle and review a different array of different movies from the past, present, all that good stuff. But let's get into the topic at hand. Make sure you subscribe to the Lando Calrissian Experience on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts at. So this is going to be a sister brother podcast. So this podcast is actually going to be up on our other podcast, Stroud Low Cash, as well. But we're going to host it first here on the Lando Calrissian Experience. So let's get into it. All eyes on me. If anybody has listened to my podcast or know me, know I am an extremely big Tupac fan. So I was anticipating this movie. Let's start off the beginning. I was real tripping about the movie, period, at the beginning, from all different things I was reading about it, all the different directors, Antoine Fuqua, John Singleton, I think Malcolm Lee was aboard, I'm not sure on that one, but three different directors on board. They finally bring Benny Boom in. I know then and all the drama going on behind the scenes with the John Singleton, all that stuff. We can address that maybe later on in another podcast, but I want to really just talk about the film itself. I had issues with, because the full disclosure, I don't think a Tupac movie can work on this landscape unless you have a super, super high class competent director to do it, to understand, because Tupac was so complex of individual. He would hang with Madonna and Mick Jagger and some random people on that board. Then he'll also be in the hood hanging with the lowest of low class people. So he was a Gemini. People say he was a Gemini. So he had different sides in me. It's so complex of individual. I always thought it should have put it as a Netflix series. Tell me how dope that would be. A Tupac Netflix series, 12 episodes. You could really break down and get into the soul of Tupac as a man in a Netflix series. Neither here nor there. Let's dive into this movie a little bit. So first off, Benny Boom is a director of this film. He's a highly noted music video director from the early 2000s. He did Next Day Air, and he did The Unknown. I have seen it, though, if people have known, SWAT 2. Saw it on, it was straight to DVD, SWAT 2. It was based in Detroit, not L.A. like the original SWAT movie was. But I'm not even going to put this on Benny Boom, man. I'm not putting this on Benny Boom. I'm putting this on the script and the budget. And the fact I think a lot of this wouldn't have maybe happened as much if Afeni was alive. I think those three factors would have, because I don't know if Benny Boom, if... And is Benny Boom even able to take on something to this magnitude of a film in itself? That's putting a lot on Benny Boom to have to try to direct this iconic person on that level. And he's only has Next Day Air and SWAT 2 under his belt. So in the film, Demetrius Shipp plays Tupac. He does a decent job. I think maybe someone, another director, could have pulled out more from him. I feel like he was acting like Tupac instead of being Tupac, which is a different thing, and that's a different level of an actor that you would have to undertake to be a character and to be a person. That's a few actors that can actually turn that key and get into that method acting or being that person. Come to mind, Denzel in Malcolm X, Leonardo DiCaprio, in an array of different roles, as well as Ray with Jamie Foxx. So that was going to be a hard thing for any actor to pull off. So I'm not going to put that all on Demetrius Shipp with that. The Jada Pinkett role was it was interesting the way they shown her in the movie. They kind of shoehorned her in, it felt like, a lot, just random places, which was cool. I know they were deep as friends, but it didn't give him any soul. And the reason why he cared for Jada so much as an individual, as a person, you really didn't get that from this film. And if you're going to bring Jada into it and just constantly just drop her in there, you need to make her feel like she was a part of this film and she has some soul in it, not just dropping her in there because he was cool with Jada. And I felt like that. You have to develop those characters and have them be in a situation where they're developed and they're showing kind of something amongst each other, instead of just throwing something in there like, oh, hey, yeah, him and Jada was cool. Him and Jada was cool. So the Feeny part was, I like Dania. She's on Walking Dead. She did a good job as a Feeny, and I felt like she was a Feeny. I felt like maybe they didn't put her in there as well as they should have to me. They didn't place her correctly, but she was damn good as a Feeny. And the girl that played Jada did a great job too. And maybe this is direction too. More and more I think about it, it wouldn't put in the right places, but this could be script, which I think is the biggest hole in this whole film. My man Jamie Hector played Mutulu Shakur. He did a great job as well as Mutulu. You could see him being Mutulu. So those were great, great points of this. The woman that played Kidada, as much as she was in there, she seemed like she played it as well from what I know and read and seen of Kidada. Let me give you some more great things. The music on here was great. I think the music points of when music was put in was a great placement of music in here. Let me get into some of the more. I think it was nostalgic. Gave you a lot of nostalgic feel, but I think the film didn't keep the nostalgic feel going and flowing throughout the film. The film had no soul, period. It felt like it was just, you could tell almost it was a music video director that did it, because it was constant clips, constantly just jumping around, and not a smooth transition of anything. It was just like, we're just going to give you this clips, piece, which is cool. But if you're going to do that, then you need to be able to set that up as a basis for it. I'm not going to spoil any of it for anybody. I mean, I guess it ain't no spoilers, because the man is passed and you can look up who he is. I didn't like the promos for this going out ahead of time. It felt like when I saw a lot of interviews with LT Hutton and Benny Boom, it was like they weren't promoting the film. They were trying to tell people it was good by saying, like, oh yeah, well, such and such like the movie, such and such. You shouldn't need to have seen other people co-sign and like the movie if the movie is dope. So I think people already knew ahead of time that maybe people were having ill feelings towards it, because they were constantly saying, like, well, yeah, Snoop loved it, such and such cried in it. Well, no, it's a dope film. It's not like when you saw Ray, they put Quincy Jones on board when they were promoting the movie, like, yeah, well, Quincy Jones said it was dope, and such said it was dope, and such, yeah, Quincy Jones came out and said he loved that movie as Ray, but they didn't use that as part of the marketing with the interviews and things like that. So that kind of was a red flag before I even got into the film. This is the thing, man. Straight Out of Compton put the bar up for hip-hop biopics. It set it high, because you had a great, competent director that understood and knew the source material. And on top of that, let's keep it real with it. Those individuals being alive helped out a lot with Straight Out of Compton, being able to push it, the budget, all those different things. You had Ice Cube behind it. He knows how to get films done. So you needed someone that knows what they're doing, the competency of filmmaking, the competency of promotion, all those different things involved in making a film makes a film great. And you did not have that in this movie. It was cool, like I said. And some people have said that, you know, shout out to all my Facebook listeners. I put this out there beforehand, that before I even started recording it, I was getting ready to do this review, because I took some notes and things like that. And a lot of people saying it was just a good film and it was just cool. You know what? As a person at this point, as a film watcher, things like that, and I know people talk about how we review films all the time on the podcast and things like that, and how we kind of look at a lot more deeper. There's a different levels of film watching. There's something that's just cool, there's popcorn flicks, there's cool action flicks, there's cool something that makes you cry, makes you laugh, all those different things. Everything don't have to be Malcolm X. But for a Tupac movie, and the much you hyped this up over your, and you kept pushing it back too, which is a whole nother different thing, that it constantly kept getting pushed back of when they wanted to come out. you had to do something epic at this point. And yeah, if I wanted a popcorn flick, I would just want to go see one of Tupac's other movies, Juice or something like that. But you're making a biopic of an iconic person that sold 75 million records worldwide. It can't be just a popcorn movie. They didn't do that for Johnny Cash. When in his film, they made it a movie that has soul in it. Walk the Line came out. They had movie has soul. Straight Outta Compton has soul to it. You just can't. It ain't like just no regular person. This person was an iconic individual. So it felt like almost it was. I don't know. They cashed their heart, but I feel like it was at that point. Like, I have the rights to it. I need to get it out soon. That it felt rushed like that. The scenes that show the concert scenes. They seem like it was a silo that you were in. Those 50 people in a regular club. Yes, yeah, some perform, but when Tupac's doing All Eyes on Me, it's in a stadium. It ain't like in no small place. It seemed like it was smaller. Everything was like dumbed down. It wasn't big and epic. When you saw NWA at concerts, it felt like it was epic. Like, oh, snap. They had Joe Louis Arena, you know? And it felt like they dumbed this down, and it felt like we got to get it out, the Tupac movie. And not taking the time and the real care with the film. I know they said LT Hunter was working on it for 10 years. Maybe that could have been a bad point. He's had the rights for 10 years. Because you're like, he's maybe on the clock. Like, I need to get this out. I got to get this out. I got the rights to it. I got to get it out. Instead of really taking that care and saying, you know what? I need to get somebody on this. If Antoine Fuqua, I need to get somebody else. It don't have to be Antoine Fuqua. It had to be John Singleton. But get a high quality director to do this. Or maybe you don't have the budget for it. And if you didn't have the budget for it, maybe you need to step down a little bit and maybe be a co-executive producer and get somebody else on board with it. It just seemed like it was a lot of stuff with it. Another thing was with the music was, there was points in the movie where some songs weren't applied to the right time period. For instance, Hail Mary. He never performed Hail Mary. That song came out posthumously on Machiavelli. So it was interesting to me, you know, they're showing a scene of him performing Hail Mary. He was like, Hail Mary, that's inaccurate. But and like I said, and I'm not going to get into inaccuracies of the film. Every film that's a biopic has inaccuracies. Straight Outta Compton does. Any of those movies do. So like I said, this is not... And the Snoop, supposedly, somebody says that the Snoop character didn't have Snoop voice over his voice. If he didn't, he did a great job, because it sounded like he was voiceover. Like, the Snoop came and did like a voiceover thing. So if he actually was speaking that, my wife went to the film with me at the preview, and she was like, no, I think that really is that guy. So shout out to him, though, if he did that. That was a great job. If that was, because I thought it was Snoop voiced over. Like, oh, wow. They just going to voice over Snoop. So someone said in an interview earlier that he said that was him to do it. So shout out to the brother that plays Snoop. Pac meant a lot to me and to a lot of people. And it felt like they just rushed this to be able to get a Tupac movie out on his birthday. Today is Tupac's birthday. Like, oh, we gotta get it out by then. Because before it was supposed to come out in November, December, if y'all remember correctly, it was supposed to come out in November, December. They pushed it back, and I don't know if it's a cat. I have no idea where this motivation was. And the movie doesn't have any motivation of where it's coming from. They have Tupac being deep in random scenes, and it doesn't have any context to it. It doesn't have any, like I said, main thing it is, this movie has no soul. A shining point on the Lolo was Corey Hardwick as Haitian Jack. Hey, I like Corey Hardwick as an actor on the low. They could have really developed that a lot more with Haitian Jack. He did a great job as Haitian Jack. I really like that. The Suge character, he was cool. You could tell that Suge did give some insight on this film, because they definitely didn't show him as the Suge Knight. They showed him more as a dude that just wanted to be a coworker, which we don't know. Everybody has different sides of Suge. But I do wish they had a more menacing Suge. That Suge from Straight Outta Compton was menacing. You felt like, oh, he gonna whoop somebody's ass. Like, this Suge seemed like he was cool. Almost, my wife said, like a teddy bear in the film. She said, oh, he's like a teddy bear. But she liked that Suge. I just thought it was a little bit more men. I just felt like some of it, the casting was one of the few things I think that was good in this film. Was the casting. I think the script was bad. Once again, there's a lot of holes in it. A lot of different all over the place plot points with it. It just felt hollow. But I want people to go see it, though, because you want to support brothers doing their thing. But at the same time, we got to step our bar up when we doing biopics of people. We got to step the bar up. It can't just be just a thing of like, oh yeah, it's just cool they did it. It's just cool and did it is a Madea movie. Or just a random comedy from anybody else. But if you're doing a biopic of somebody iconic that meant so much to hip-hop culture, we got to step the bar up, man. Strata Compton showed us that we can do that. Before, yeah, okay, we could do all those different things. Because Strata Compton showed that it was availability to do that. If you have the right direction, the right setup for it, you can do and show and give a great service to hip-hop culture, man. And that's all I'm saying is step the bar up. If you can't do it, let somebody else do it. Not just because you want to do it and you thought you could do it. And that stands for anybody with any biopic when you come to hip-hop, period. If you don't feel like you're really competent to do it and you really seeing like this ain't right, and maybe they thought it was right, and it's, but to me, there's no way you could look at that film and say like, oh, this is right. Like, you, this is Tupac. It's not. And you was already putting yourself behind the eight ball because Tupac is a complicated character to do. So if you're going to do it, you got to know. You got to have all your ducks in order. It's like being the first black president. You can't go in there with your pants sagging like, I'm the first man. You got to be all of your ducks in order. For anything, you're the first to do anything, you got to have your ducks in order. So with that being said, that is my quick review of All Eyes on Me. Make sure you subscribe to the Lando Calrissian Experience on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, anywhere you get your podcast at. And as always, we appreciate y'all listening. Email us, yeah, give us some feedback. LandoCalPod@gmail.com, LandoCalPod on Twitter, and the Lando Cal Experience on Facebook. Shout out to everybody. Love y'all. Peace.
I couldn't help but note your pain.
My pain?
It runs deep. Share it with me.
They'll never take me alive. I'm getting high with my 4-5. Cocked on these suckers, time to die. Even as a youngster, causing ruckus on the back of the bus. I was a fool all through high school, kicking up dust. But now I'm labeled as a troublemaker. Who can you blame? Smoking weed helped me take away the pain. So I'm hopeless, rolling down the freeway, swerving. Don't worry, I'm about to crash upon the curb. Cause my business bloody. Maybe if they tried to understand me, what should I do? I had to feed my fucking family. What else could I do? I'm slanging with the homies, fuck hanging with them phonies in the club. Got my mind, no danger. Never been a stranger to homicide. My city's full of gangbangers and drive-bys. Why do we die at an early age? He was so young, but still a victim of the 12 gauge. My memories of a corpse, mind full of sick thoughts. And I ain't going back to court, so fuck what you thought. I'm drinking Hennessy, running from my enemies. Will I live to be 23 and so much pain?
Of that rough life, running crazy wild as a kid, and growing tough with a knife, and living tripe on the regular, barking out competitors. See a figure moving, chase them down like a fucking predator. Get in trouble every day in school, act a fool, and you know I had to break every rule. Showing off for the bitches cause I had the mad breath, so I had to watch my back when it was time to step. But my grime is the grimiest with love for me. Oh, pop, pop, it's in the chucker up above for me. And yo, currency kept passing me by, but I didn't cry. Broke, got hit off of the pack and started selling coke. And now the money's looking lovely. Hop the drop top and now the bitches wanna rub me. Kick them the game, it's all the same. I kick it back, yo, give them slack, yo. And now they label me the Mac, yo. People check it, get disrespected if you front on the Birdman. You heard, man, catch a couple shots from the Glock in my head.